Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Ah, good morning, Jill. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? I'm so glad to hear it.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling like we've been talking about self-care for a couple of weeks, but today's topic, I think, is one that definitely we went long last week, and I think that this is actually a really important conversation to have, although you already know that I'm really nervous to share this part of my journey.
Speak your truth.
Speak my truth.
Reveal your soul.
But before we talk about the big thing, I do want to go back on something we mentioned last week, and it was that the practice of the Ho'oponopono prayer. It's a Hawaiian practice, a Hawaiian prayer that is actually used a lot in grace work. And I have my clients do this a lot. And I find that when I'm really beating myself up, which we talked about last time, and I'm good at beating myself up, I have to be honest, this is a practice that I really love doing. And people can do it and offer this Hawaiian prayer to others. So, I mean, I could definitely Ho'oponopono, whatever, to my ex-husband or to my kids. But for some reason, this is my favorite practice to do for myself. It's a simple prayer that has four steps. You start with an acknowledgement of whatever it is that you've done. For me personally today, I'm sorry that I was so angry at myself. The second step is forgiveness. Please forgive me. I'm sorry I was so angry at myself. Please forgive me. Thank you for whatever. I like to actually thank the anger for whatever it showed me. And then the fourth step is I love you. So, like, in practice for me today, I was very, very angry at myself that I did not prepare for an interview as much as I would have wanted to. So, I'm sorry for being angry at myself. Please forgive me. Thank you for the lessons. I love you. And I might say it multiple times. I might give myself a hug. I might look myself in the mirror. But it's just a way for me to pull myself out of my mind. My therapist just recently said it's a way to expand the space between my head and my heart. So vocalizing these emotions, vocalizing my humanity is helping me expand that space. So I actually like that imagery.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I wanted to follow up with that. But on to the real point of today's conversation, and that is psychedelic assisted therapies.
Didn't see that one coming.
I know.
I kind of did.
Tell me what you know just a little bit before I tell you my story.
Well, Nancy Reagan said, just say no to drugs. And I did. And I was the president of the Just Say No Club. Because drugs are bad.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? You were president of Just Say No?
Oh yeah. I mean, we had a song that we came up with. It was kind of like a little white Polish kids rap. And we did the Running Man to it, the Roger Rabbit dance move. And yeah. We were in it to win it. And so I was very much in that mindset of all things drugs are bad. Because, yeah, that's just what we call them. And so I have only recently in my life been exploring more of what plant medicine is that we've called drugs. Yeah. Scary drugs. And it's like, but it's a plant. It's been used by different cultures and different civilizations over centuries. And, you know, I don't know that it was ever that that wisdom was ever lost completely, though I'm sure it was in some places. I know there's always been people actively working to keep it alive, but I feel like there's a resurgence now. So I think it's fascinating that this is the realm that you're going to talk more about today, because you have a lot of interesting aspects to you.
Yeah, well, it is. It's called the third wave, and it is definitely a resurgence, but it's a resurgence in a much more researched and therapeutic applicable way than it has been in the past. Although it has always had therapeutic benefits, it's always had research behind it. There is a lot of energy and a lot of knowledge that we have now. So I can't wait to tell you my story.
I can't wait to hear it.
So one of the things that I have recently done is some breathwork therapies also. And have you ever done a breathwork session?
I've done box breathing. Does that count?
Box breathing is breathing, yes.
Okay.
Breathwork as a therapy is, it takes about 90 minutes, and it's got music that gets played to it. It's a very guided experience. And a lot of times you can do breath work in groups. So like a lot of yoga studios will do breath work workshops where you can go and do these sessions, and it's guided by a facilitator, and it's a mouth breathing. So like a traditional yoga breathing is in and out through your nose. Mm-hmm. Box breathing is that place where you take equal measures, where you take the breath in, you hold it, you release the breath, you hold it, and it's all equal counts. This is a mouth breathing, and it puts you actually into an altered state. It's considered an altered state therapy. All of the breathwork workshops that I've been in, you have some people who are crying hysterically, you have some people who are laughing, you have some people who are screaming. But it's releasing all of those emotions that we store in our bodies.
Yeah, it's somato-emotional release in a different form.
Yes.
This is fascinating to me. Tell me more.
I have loved, I've done three different breathwork workshops. The first one was in Bali. That's when I was really introduced to it. And then I did one at a yoga studio with a group of people. And what was really interesting is, so again, kind of going, you know, to you talking about your throat, they tell you that when you do the breath work, that some people, their hands will lock up, and it kind of looks a little bit like a triceratops hands, and your hands will
T-Rex lock up. Hands?
T-Rex hands, yeah. Okay. And they, I mean, it's really common. They warn you about it in the beginning of the session, but they just say, just, you've just got to let yourself breathe. But really what that indicates is that you're holding on, that you're grasping these emotions or this belief system or whatever. And it happened to me so much in the group workshop that it actually triggered that Raynaud's syndrome, and my hands ached for a couple of weeks after. So I called the lady and I said, we need to do another breathwork session because I obviously didn't let go of everything. I think that was the first time that I actually realized that I was grieving the future that I always thought that I was going to have with my family. It was when I really realized that that was actually impacting my ability to even see what my potential future is going to look like, because I'm so sad that I had to give that up. And so it was, but I don't think I would have been able to get to that without the breath work, because I think my mind was trying to protect my heart so much. And as I think about the people that I talk to specifically who are religious folks, and I do end up talking to a lot of Mormon mothers who they're in the exact same situation. When our kiddos come out as LGBTQ, there is a huge change. And we actually, I know for me personally, I've been silenced as I try to express very often that I totally want to support my son. I'm totally excited for the future that he's going to have, but I've really had to mourn this vision that I had of my family. And it's not that I'm trying to begrudge him his future, but I still have to be able to mourn that for myself. And I do think that a lot of, again, specifically Mormon mothers really face that, is how do I, like, I do have to let go of that. And it, there is a mourning process. So that was something that was really interesting to me that happened with my breathwork session. So that is something that I have done over this past 6 months, as I'm really realizing just how many emotions I've been storing for so many years in my body.
And how does somebody find out about where they can do breathwork near them? Like, are there certain organizations that do the training around this? Are there different philosophies on it? Or does it all kind of follow a similar-ish path?
I would guess that the same, you would be able to do a Google search. I did a Google search for a current client that I have. I'm not a facilitator of breathwork. So she wanted to have the name of somebody. And so I did a Google search and I found a couple of different either yoga studios or actually here in Frisco, we have a studio that they specialize in breathwork. So I think you could Google it very easily.
Oh, we can Google it, all right.
We can Google anything. And everybody that I know that's a breathwork facilitator is also a trauma-informed counselor. So they have like their LPC or they have their LSWs. They're trained therapists, and they're using breathwork as a way to really get to the root of some of those stored traumas, which I think is really cool right now, is now we are learning so much about stored trauma. And some of these alternative methods are really becoming a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
Which brings us.
I know. Witchcrackery, bringing it to everyone. I had to write down when you said witchcrackery because I want to invent a snack now and call it witchcrackery.
Yeah.
So I love that we are bringing witchcrackery to the masses.
I do too. So that brings us to the next one that we are going to talk about, which is definitely an alternative. I'm not sure that it qualifies as self-care. I think it qualifies as an alternative healing method for that stored trauma.
Are you talking about vibrators now?
No,
just kidding. Nope, that's not where my mind went. Nope.
Wasn't it on our podcast that I admitted to be one of only two living prudes left in the world?
Goodness. Oh, man. So many offshoot episodes from here. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Please continue. Please continue. Not a vibrator.
Form of
self-assisted self-care.
Oh, Jill, you just made me giggle.
It's witchcrackery.
Well, so the other thing that I am just starting to really understand, I just finished my own certification in this, is the psychedelic assisted therapies. And I know that they're pretty controversial in some circles. So our listeners might be just like that man and now discredit everything that I have to say for the rest of the world.
I don't know though, because so I think it's so fascinating that you're talking about this, because Hay House just did a week-long series a few months ago about psychedelics and had all different doctors and researchers and different therapists and practitioners speak about it. And it was fascinating because I didn't realize how much misinformation that the Just Say No campaign of the 90s or 80s or whatever that was, like all of this information that we were fed about psychedelics, where it's like, this is plant medicine. Anyways,
yeah.
Please continue. Now you got me hooked.
Well, so yes, and I totally agree. And not just Hay House did one, but Sounds True just did one, which is another big publishing house that does a lot of self-healing, a lot of self-help type publications and workshops and courses. There's the video, How to Change Your Mind, or the series on, I don't even know if it's Hulu or Netflix or whoever, but How to Change Your Mind, I think it's 7 episodes. And there is a lot of research around it. And I actually first got interested when I was working with my therapist who is a trained therapist, and we were talking about religious trauma, and we were talking about some of the traumas that I have been not allowed to talk about, not just over the past like 8 to 10 years with my family, but even with my upbringing. So we started talking about the psychedelic assisted therapies for me personally, because she said, I mean, we could do talk therapy for years and years and years, and it's going to take us so long to get into some of this, or we can do a psychedelic assisted therapy where we can actually dig in a lot faster. And so I actually did a psychedelic assisted, they're called a ceremony, but it was a large dose of a psychedelic that was guided by a trained professional. And it was really amazing to me, the depth of the work that I was able to accomplish in that, so much so that then I ended up getting trained to be a psychedelic assisted therapist myself. So, and it's really interesting the different ways that we can use that alternative medicine, that plant medicine, to, I almost want to say, loosen up some of the things that we've packed down so tightly that they're hard to get to.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
You have just added such another fascinating dimension to who you are and all the things you know.
Yeah, little Mormon mom who won't drink and won't smoke and doesn't know anything about vibrators.
But let me tell you about psychedelics.
I can tell you about the psychedelics. It's
so,
actually.
But tell me more about it, because so again, the picture that was painted in my mind when I was a kid and a teenager and even into adulthood is like, you do magic mushrooms and you're going to want to eat a light bulb so that you'll have bright ideas. Like that it's dangerous and you'll do stupid things and you're going to think you're in a totally different universe. Like, is that true? Does that happen? Please tell me no.
Well, I will tell you from my personal experience, there is no way in hell I would want to take a large dose of any psychedelic without a trained professional.
Mm.
So I personally wouldn't want to do a high dose without a trained professional.
Mm.
For me personally, my high dose ceremony included a lot of grief that had not been processed. I basically cried for 5 straight hours before I came out of the grief. And then I had a beautiful experience. And you were actually one of the people that came and helped me out of that grief, which was to me beautiful. Mm. With some prisms, which was a wonderful imagery for me. But everybody has a different experience. And that's why I actually asked you about the cranial sacral, is you do set an intention, and it is a very carefully curated space when you're doing a ceremony for somebody, because you want the person to be really comfortable. You want them to be safe. But the big ceremonies, the facilitator doesn't actually guide you through it. So they're not going to like talk you know, they're not going to ask you questions, and they're not going to try to guide the process. The goal is to let the plant medicine do the work. So you might know that, like, my intention was actually, I actually had used a tarot card, the Eight of Swords, that kept coming up in a lot of my personal readings. And the Eight of Swords, for people who don't follow tarot, is an image where a woman is laying on a bed and there's 8 swords above her, but none of the swords are actually touching her, but she thinks she's trapped. She thinks she can't move because of these 8 swords. And all she really has to do is roll off the bed, but she thinks she's trapped. So I named the 8 swords. I had emotions that I was feeling after my divorce, and I named all of the 8 swords. But in the end, what really happened is it was just all grief. All of those emotions I was experiencing were rooted in grief.
So you have all of these experiences rooted in grief. Where do you go from there?
So
it's just letting them out. And then they're like, okay, here is your sticker. Thank you for participating.
So most people who do a ceremony do what's called integration. And it's interesting because that you do a couple of weeks of pre-integration before you take the medicine. And then you do several weeks post integration after the medicine. And you have, again, you have this trained facilitator. This, let me just say, I think this is why it's so important to you to have a facilitator that's guiding it, because so much comes up that if you don't know what to do with it, I can actually see how it would almost make it worse. Mm. And then you would want more, you know, you'd want to go back in to get that relief. But unless you're integrating that, it really is integrating that wisdom. Like, so for me, that was a really big awareness that there are so many different ways that we grieve in our society that nobody allows us to talk about. I ended up after that writing a whole entire workshop on grief, a 3-day workshop that talked about all of the different ways that grief impacts our identity. And it has given me a really beautiful lens now to work with my clients who are experiencing grief. So, but I couldn't have gotten there because, again, all of that grief had been just packed down. I didn't realize I'd never mourned my mom's death. Mm. And, you know, when she died, I was 11. So what is that, 41 years ago?
It's a lot of layers. It's a lot to work through. And I think, yeah. I don't know, it's really interesting hearing about this because there are so many parallels that I'm hearing between the craniosacral therapy, between the breath work, and now the psychedelic assisted therapy.
Yeah. And then a lot of people will continue microdosing. Mm. So some people do the big ceremony, some people don't. Microdosing is one of the active research projects in the United States right now on psychedelics, psychedelic assisted therapies, because it's just, it will be legalized in 20, I think, states is what I heard last by the end of 2023.
Wow.
If I'm doing psychedelic assisted therapy, my services can now be covered by insurance companies.
That so, is fascinating.
Yeah, it is not the scary monster that the world has made it out to seem.
Yeah, which is great. And it just shows too that there are many different roads to get to similar types of healing, but some work better for people than others, or maybe you need a combination of them, or there's different timing where one may be more appropriate than the other.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this in the session last time, like even journaling, it's a wonderful tool, but if it's not being done with intention, journaling can be a really great way to just sit and ruminate yourself into more and more and more anxiety.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share on this psychedelic journey?
I don't think so. We'll put in the notes, let's go. We'll put a couple of links to places that people can look if they have more questions.
Yes, I think that would be great. I have more questions, but I'll go to the links. Wow. Very cool. Well, you know, we both came into today feeling a little meh, and I feel a little less meh right now. I always enjoy chatting with you and being with my friend and being with our listeners.
Me too. I'm glad we stuck it out, but I do hope that we all have a better week.
Yes. Cheers to that. All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveintheque@gmail.com. Until next time, Q Crew.